For most of us, we look back over our lives and we see decisions that we wish that we would have never made. We see relationships we wish we would have never gotten into. There's dates we wish we would have never gone on. There's partnerships we wish that we would have never had. There's places we wish we would have never gone. There's jobs we wish we had never have taken. And we can look back through the pages of our lives and see so many decisions that now, in retrospect, we would go back and do differently. This morning, we're going to begin a powerful series called Mastering the Art of Living. Today, we're talking about how we can live with wisdom. In fact, as we look back through the pages of our life, we can all see these decisions we wish we could go back and do over again. And I wonder how different our lives would be if the wisdom of God really guided and directed every decision that we made. Well, today, as we begin this series, Mastering the Art of Living, we're going to be looking at a number of different subject matters from the book of Proverbs over the next 5 weeks. But today, we want to start by talking about the wisdom of God. And see, every person that's here today has at least one decision in their life they're not really sure what to do. Do I go here? Do I go over here? Do I say this? Do I do that over there? What to do when we don't know what to do? So today we want to kick off this series by talking about the wisdom of God, because see, the wisdom of God is the thing that's going to enable you to make the wise decision. Whatever decision that you're contemplating, wherever you're struggling, the wisdom of God is the thing that's going to catapult you into the future and to help you make wise choices. So we can look to the future with hope and with confidence. So today I want to invite you to grab those notes in your worship folder and that pen that you got on your worship folder, and I want to invite you to join in with us. You see, the problem is we have fear, uncertainty, relational conflict. We struggle as parents trying to guide our kids and our children, and we have so many questions and so few answers sometimes when it comes to wisdom. And that's why over the next few weeks, we're going to be unlocking some of the most sensitive and some of the most important areas of our lives where we need God and we need the Lord to speak to us. In fact, next week, we're going to continue this series by talking about parenting. You know, sometimes it's just hard to direct children. And the book of Proverbs has great counsel for us about how to be wise parents. And every parent that's here today, I want to invite you back next week. In fact, if you're not a parent, you need to be here too, because God's going to give you wisdom for other decisions that you're going to make. But listen, we need parents to have wisdom. And so next week, we're going to tackle that. And then the following week, we're going to talk about our finances. You know, every person has a financial tension. When we don't have money, we're stressed. When we do have money, we're stressed because we're afraid we're going to lose it. And it doesn't matter where our financial situation is, we all struggle in the area of finances. We're going to talk about what does God's Word say to us about how to have wisdom in our financial lives. And then our relationships. You know, a lot of times our relationships are a mess. Our friendships, our marriages, our other relationships that we have. We're going to get to that in week 4. And then finally in week 5, trusting God. How to know how to just trust the Lord. You know, everybody wants to say that they live by faith, but what does that really look like? What does it feel like? What does it smell like? How do you really trust God with your life? And we'll wrap the series up in week 5 with that specific topic. So I want to invite you to be back for each one of these powerful messages as we master the art of living. But today we got to begin with wisdom. Because, see, that decision that you need to make, that area where you're wrestling, the wisdom of God is the thing that's going to help you make the wise choice. So today we want to begin by looking at this topic. Now, there's a couple of misconceptions about wisdom. Number one, some people say that if you're to become wise, that you have to become old. You know, and people say, well, I want to become older and wiser, right? And that's not necessarily the case. I mean, you can be old and be foolish, right? So wisdom doesn't always come by age. In fact, sometimes young people have more wisdom than older people. And so age in and of itself does not necessarily make a person wise. The second misconception that we have is sometimes we think, well, if I'm smart, then I have wisdom. You know, if I graduated magna cum laude, or I was on the honor roll, or you know, I made all of these really great grades, and I have advanced degrees, then I have wisdom. But listen, wisdom and intelligence are not the same thing. In fact, you can be an extremely intelligent person and be really dumb when it comes to putting that in to practice. So wisdom is not just being smarter. It's not just being able to be book smart, but it's able to be street smart when it comes to living out the Christian life. How are you going to flesh out the Word of God in your own experience? That's really what wisdom is all about. That's interesting. About 3,000 years ago, a man by the name of Solomon was the king of Israel. And God said to him, Solomon, I want to grant you one wish. If you could just have one wish, what would you ask for? And God thought Solomon was going to say fame and riches and Super Bowl rings and vacation homes all over the world and vast wealth and a huge portfolio. And Solomon just thought of something that was so incredible. He said, you know what, Lord? Really what I would like to have is not more stuff. What I'd like to have is I'd like to have wisdom. And God was so impressed with the response of Solomon that he said, you know what, Solomon, I'm going to give you tremendous wisdom, but I'm also going to give you a lot of other stuff. And he gave him great wealth, and he gave him great blessing. And Solomon was one of the most blessed men in the face of the earth. But he was extremely wise, and he wanted to pass on the wisdom that God had imparted to him to his son. And therefore, he, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs is a series of chapters and writings from a father to his son. This is what the father would say to his kids about how to live wisely. And he covers a whole number of different topics, but he begins by talking about where wisdom really comes from. So today it's interesting that 3,000 years ago that a document could be written and yet have so much relevance and so much insight, man, for our life here in the 21st century. So God gave Solomon wisdom, and this wisdom that he had allowed him to be a powerful leader and a very wealthy man. And he penned these words, and he gave us the book of Proverbs. So that's where we're going to be over the next few weeks. Now the question is, well, how can I become wise? I mean, nobody's here today would say, I want to be dumb, or I don't want to have wisdom. I mean, everybody here would say, I'd like to be wise. Where does wisdom come from? Where's the origin of wisdom? How can I become a wiser person? Notice Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The scripture tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's interesting that wisdom begins by the fear of God. Now notice it doesn't say by getting a degree or by reading more books, while all those things are great. But wisdom comes from the fear of God. Now, what is the fear of God? Sometimes we think, well, the fear of God, that means that I'm going to shake and tremble, you know, and I'm going to be afraid of the Lord. And we sometimes mistake being afraid of the Lord for the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. It's actually something far different. It's actually to be in reverence or to respect or to be in awe of God. That's what it means to have the fear of the Lord. It means that you respect what God says about your life more than you respect your own opinions. And it means that we live under the authority of God. In other words, there's a big you and a little I in our life. And that's what it means to have the fear of God. Jesus said it this way, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, we express our love to God by following him, by obeying him, by serving him. All those things are the things in which we show God that we reverence and we respect him. And oftentimes, the fear of God can seem a little bit intimidating, but in reality, we fear and we respect a lot of people. In fact, celebrities oftentimes are the people that we respect the most. In fact, I love to meet celebrities. I've only met a couple, but it's really a lot of fun. And I'm sure you guys have met some famous people in your life, and you have stories that you could tell about it, and it's really cool. Well, I'll tell you what, when I was a senior in college, we asked Coach Tom Landry, of the retired Dallas Cowboys football coach, to come and speak at our campus to our students. And Coach Landry is not only a really successful football coach, or was, but was also a very committed Christian. And he used to speak with the Billy Graham Crusade, and he used to share his testimony, and I mean, it was awesome. And so we invited Coach Landry to come speak to our student body. We packed out the auditorium there on our campus. We had over 1,000 students that were there tonight. Many of them committed their lives to Christ, and it was awesome. And I was the leader of this organization, and so I got a chance to go to a special dinner with Coach Landry and just a couple of students. And I'll tell you, man, I was so scared. I mean, I did not, what in the world do you say to this legendary coach? Coach Landry has the record for the most consecutive winning seasons among any NFL coach. 20 seasons in a row, he had a winning record. Can you believe that? The guy has 2 Super Bowl rings. He's in the Hall of Fame. You know, this guy is like, you know, in the football world, he's like, you know, a god, if you will. And I thought, what in the world am I going to talk to Coach Landry about? And when I met him, you know, he has a big, firm handshake. Coach Landry, he didn't look that big on the sidelines if you watched the Dallas Cowboys back when he was a coach, because he was next to all those huge giants. But Coach Landry was a big guy. He had huge guns. He was in his 60s, and I mean, it looked like he was on the bench press every single day. I was totally intimidated and just totally impressed with this guy. And Coach Landry was not a real funny, real witty, kind of a talkative kind of guy, but kind of serious and kind of solemn. And so it was kind of awkward being there, but I felt like I was in the presence of greatness. And so I didn't know what to say to him, you know. I didn't know what questions to ask. I didn't want to be some stupid college student asking a bunch of dumb questions. So the only thing I knew to do was to ask him for his autograph. You know, I figured, hey, can't hurt anything. So I got my picture here of Coach Landry, and I don't know if you guys can see that in the back, but it says, "To Ryan, best wishes, Tom Landry." And so that's all we had to talk about was the autograph that he gave me. But we had a great time. And you know, when I think about being in awe or I think about reverencing somebody, I think about my experience with Coach Landry. And you know, how much more is that important in the spiritual arena? How much more is that important for us to have that respect for God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God that knows every single thing about you? He knows everything past, present, and future. The God that has the wisdom to direct and to lead your life. I mean, that is where wisdom begins. It begins by having that healthy respect for the Lord that says, God, you're the leader, and I'm the servant, and I'm going to follow you. And wherever you lead me and wherever you direct me, God, I'm there. And that's where the fear of the Lord begins. Now, that's the origin of the fear of God. Now, the scripture goes on, and it gives us a description of what wisdom looks like. And that's what Proverbs chapter 1 is all about. It kind of fleshes out, well, what does wisdom look like? In fact, the book of Proverbs is the most practical book in the Old Testament. I mean, it is intensely practical. In fact, I'd like to just encourage you. Today is November the 1st, and we're going to end this series on the 5th Sunday. We have 5 Sundays in November. If you read one proverb a day, you could read the entire book of Proverbs in 1 month. How would that be? You know, just by reading one chapter a day, you could finish the whole book by the end of the month. Wouldn't that be great? And we could just allow the wisdom of God to just infuse us, right? And that's what we ought to be doing. But you know, there's certain things that kind of go together. And we talk about love and fear go together. You know, Psalm 33:18 says, "But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love." In other words, fear and love go together. To fear God is to love him. To love God is to fear him. Those things go together. But there's certain things that go together in life. You know, we think about things like, you know, money and Bill Gates and Texas and big hair. I don't know what it is, but there is some big hair in Texas. And big hair in Texas, they go together, man. It's an unusual way. Whining and Jay Cutler, they go together, okay? You think about both of those things, they're synonymous. They go, listen, love and fear go together. To love God is to fear him. To fear God is to love him. But what does life look like, a life of wisdom? Now, it's important for us to recognize wisdom in other people's lives and to look around and to say, man, what is a wise man? What does a wise woman look like? Notice what the scripture says. First of all, someone that's disciplined. Okay, look at verse 3. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, and doing what is right, just, and fair. And here he highlights the idea here of being disciplined. You know, it's important to be disciplined. Many times we live by feelings. and how we feel dictates oftentimes the decisions that we make. It's not being disciplined. And being disciplined and living a prudent life is what is right and fair. But a lot of times we don't make decisions by what is the disciplined choice. We do things by how we feel. You know, it's interesting, if we live by our feelings, we would hardly ever do the things that we should be doing, right? I mean, we would rarely go to work. We would lay around probably on the couch and watch TV all the time. We would hardly ever exercise. And our life would be characterized by so many other things other than being disciplined. But listen, being disciplined is part of being wise. And if you want to be a woman, if you want to be a man of wisdom, discipline has got to be a part of your experience, of your life. A lot of times we live by excuses. You know, I woulda, coulda, shoulda, or I was going to, but. And we put off things, and we procrastinate, and we have excuses. Well, that didn't work out because of her, and we blame other people. And when things don't go our way, it's everybody else's fault. And yet, the disciplined life is the beginning point here of what wisdom looks like. Wise people are disciplined. Now, we can be disciplined in one area and not necessarily disciplined in another area. And we might go to the office, you know, we might work, you know, 60, 70 hours a week, maybe more, I don't know. And we may have a great career. You know, we may have the car and the house and the portfolio and all that kind of stuff maybe just going great for us. And yet at the same time, we may be disciplined in our work life, but yet our marriage may be a mess. Or we may be neglecting time with our children. And so what we do is we have a great job. Yeah, I mean, we have money, we have wealth, all that's going great, but yet look at our family. Or we could flip it over. We may prioritize our family, maybe very, very disciplined in spending time and nurturing the family and take care of the family, and yet our career, we don't work hard. And we're not disciplined there. And listen, if we don't work hard, then we're probably not going to make a living, and we may not even have a job. In fact, in this economy, we just need to be thankful that we have a job, you know? But I'll tell you, one of the greatest securities you can have in your job is work harder than everybody else in your office. And if you do that, you're probably less likely to lose your job. But all those things got to be balanced, man. We can't just be focused on one thing. Listen, what you focus on in your life is what you will ultimately become. If you focus on your spiritual life and being disciplined and spending time with God and reading the scripture and praying, you're going to grow spiritually. If you focus on your career, then you'll do well in your career. If you focus on your family, then your family is going to be healthy. And so the disciplined life, man, is the person that can look at all these different arenas and say, man, I don't want to just be about one thing. I want to be disciplined in all areas of my life. And that's really where wisdom comes into play. How sad would that be for us to have a tremendous job and an amazing income, but to have total depression and despair when it comes to the family? Or how sad would it be for us to be so much about our family, but we never spend time developing our spiritual life and growing in our walk with God? Discipline, man. Talking about discipline. I spend time with God every single day. It's one of the greatest disciplines of my own experience. Sometimes it's longer than other times. But I spend time praying and reading God's Word every single day. It's a discipline in my life. And you know what? I need wisdom. I need God to direct me as a parent, as a pastor, as a husband, as a leader of my family, as all these things. Man, I need the wisdom of God. How am I going to get that? I got to get alone with the Lord. That takes discipline, doesn't it? Takes discipline. I would just challenge you, man, today. There's a bunch of Bibles here underneath the seats. If you don't have a Bible or you don't have one that is a modern translation, just take a Bible today. You can have them. It's just a gift from the Edge Church. We've got plenty of them. Just take that home, man, and just begin to read that, man, and just say, God, speak to me, man. Give me wisdom, Lord. And you know what? In being disciplined in doing that, I know the Lord is going to open your eyes. He's going to show you some things you have never seen before. In fact, some of the things he's going to show you are going to blow you away. It's going to be awesome. The wisdom of God. Wise people are people of discipline. And then the scripture goes on and it says, wise people are not just disciplined, but they're also prudent. Prudent. Now, what is prudent? I mean, it's kind of a word we know, not a word that we talk about all the time, but it is a great word. The word prudent means being discerning or good judgment or caution or discretion. You know, people that can look at a situation and make a good call. Do I need to make this decision or this decision? Prudence is being self-controlled. It's being discerning. It's using good judgment. And notice what the scripture says here. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding the words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. And notice he says there, to the simple-minded. You know, the people that, listen, you may not even be that smart, man, but God can give you wisdom. How about that? He says, giving knowledge and discretion to the young. You know, you may be a young person. You might be a teenager. You might be younger than that. Listen, God can fill your life with wisdom. You don't have to be like an adult or have your driver's license or have a full-time job or have a graduate degree or whatever to be wise. That's not true. You can be wise just by seeking the Lord, man. God can put wisdom in your life even as a child. You know, it's amazing. And being prudent is a huge part of that. Now, there's things that we do that, as we look at our own lives and our past history, prudence is the ability to look at our past experience and our future hope and dreams and to make wise choices. You see, there's some decisions that you need to make related to who you are that may be different from who somebody else is. Does that make sense? Wise choices are not always the same for everybody. Now, certainly the Bible gives us the moral authority and standards in Scripture, but listen, there's a lot of decisions we got to make that are not spelled out in black and white in the Bible. And the only way we can make a good choice is to be prudent. So what we do is we look at our past, man. We say, well, what's in my past, man? Where have I struggled? And we look back, and God may lead you to make some choices that are different from somebody else. You know, I have a friend who's an alcoholic, and he's been sober for a few years, but he has to make some choices in his life that are different from some other people because of his own background. I knew a man one time that had an addiction to gambling. You know, all the money that he had, he would just spend it and waste it away. And you know, there were some decisions that he needed to make that were different maybe from what some other people would make. Look at your past. Look at your future and ask, man, what is the wise thing to do? What is prudent? What is prudent? A lot of times we're reckless, man. So many people are trying to get rich quick, and we waste money and we spend money on foolish things, trying to get to the top and trying to get involved in maybe some of these scams and some of these things that are high-risk investments but ultimately will lead us to despair and disappointment. Man, don't fall into that. Be prudent. Be wise, be discerning. And in light of the person that you want to become, look at your future hopes and dreams, your current reality, and your past experiences, and ask yourself the question, what's the wise thing to do? Now, I'm not asking you, is it moral or not? I'm not asking you, is it legal or not? I'm asking you, is it wise? There's a lot of things that may be legal, but they may not be wise. They may just be stupid, you know, just dumb. And the scripture tells us, man, wisdom comes through prudence, okay? So we say, well, it's not illegal, or it was consensual, or it's not immoral, or I never heard a sermon against it, or all this. But yeah, but was it wise? I mean, was it the wise thing to do? Was it the wise thing to do? Not just, is it moral or legal, or am I going to get in trouble, or whatever? That's not the right question. We need to have prudence when to say something and when to not, when to make a decision and when to wait. And a lot of decisions are just dumb decisions that we make, and we have to avoid those, but that comes through prudence, man. Wisdom comes from God. God is the origin of wisdom. It begins with the fear of God, and we begin to fear God, then these things begin to develop and to grow in our life. And as we grow spiritually, being disciplined is part of spiritual growth. Being prudent, being discerning is part of your own spiritual growth. So if you want to be wise, be prudent, the scripture tells us. Be prudent. Now what about number three? That is teachable. And I love this so much. I mean, the Lord has really been all over me this week about this whole teachable thing. Now, notice what verse 4 says. These proverbs will make the simple-minded clever. They will give knowledge and purpose to young people. You know, I mentioned that just a minute ago. You may be a person that you look around and go, man, I'm simple-minded. You know, that's all right. You can be wise. God's word can make you wise. Spending time with the Lord in prayer will make you wise. The fear of the Lord will make you wise. It's not all about academics. And then in verse 5, a wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance. Notice that word listen. You ought to underline that on your outline there in verse 5. A wise man will listen. Listen, people that are wise are teachable. The moment that we begin to think that we're the authority on whatever subject matter it is that we're discussing is the moment we begin to live out the life of foolishness, not the life of wisdom. And it's interesting, the book of Proverbs is a book of contrast. Solomon writes about what wisdom looks like, and he writes about what foolishness looks like. And he kind of juxtaposes and compares and contrasts these two concepts all the way through the book of Proverbs. Well, being teachable is a huge part of wisdom, but being a person that's a know-it-all and a person that talks all the time and never listens, the Bible says that's foolishness. Wisdom is a person that is listening, a person that is learning, a person that is growing. And that's why we have to be teachable. Okay? Now, notice Proverbs 19:8. It says, people who cherish understanding will prosper. Man, if you want to be a person that's always learning all the time, listen. Listen, you want to be wise? Be teachable. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people that love our fellowship and our friendship, and we're patting them on the back and we're encouraging them. But if we correct them or call them out on something, they bow up. They don't like it. Don't talk about that. And a lot of our friendships are kind of surface friendships where it's okay to talk about kind of surface stuff, but if you talk about anything below the surface, you know, people get defensive and whatever. That's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. In fact, if you confront somebody on maybe an area of sin or struggle or just something you see in their life and you do so with humility, you know what a wise person's going to do? They're going to receive it. They're going to look at their life and they're going to pray about it. They're going to contemplate it. They're going to listen, man, because they're wise. You know what the fool's going to do? The fool's going to get mad. The fool's going to fight, argue, defend themselves, whatever else. Wisdom comes from being teachable. And God's been teaching me a lot about this over the last few years. In fact, a few years ago, I was having some health problems, and so I got a doctor to help me get my diet in order. And so I had this doctor helping with my diet. And then I was going through some conflict in my family. I got a Christian counselor to help me work through some pain and some struggle and stuff that I had in my family. And then I wanted to get in really good physical shape, and so I got a physical trainer, man, to help get me in shape and help teach me about exercise. And then I had a church planting coach that was helping me get my church started, and help a more experienced, seasoned pastor that was helping me, you know, make good decisions with the church. You know, and I began to learn a powerful principle that I still try and practice in my life today. If you want to be a wise person, find people that know more about certain subject matters than you do and then learn from them. And try and gain all the wisdom that you can from those people so that you can become wiser. When we first began to talk about starting the Edge Church last year, I gathered a group of pastors around me to help guide and direct and to help support the Edge Church. And we have 31 partnering ministries all over the United States that are involved with helping the Edge Church get started. You know, many of those pastors I talk to on a weekly or a monthly basis, and they're praying for us, they're encouraging us, they're helping me make decisions for the future, and it is awesome. It is so powerful to have people that are better leaders and people that have more experience than I do giving me insight and giving me wisdom. The same is true in your life. Man, listen, if you see somebody that has a great marriage and you want to have a great marriage, go be friends with that person and ask them questions. Talk to me about your wife. How do you love your wife? If you see somebody that is really growing in Christ and they're really spiritually mature and you want to be spiritually mature, Go to that person, talk to them, ask, you know, inquire, be wise, be teachable. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." See, the people that you hang around with has a great impact on the person that you're going to become. If all your friends bad talk their husband and hate their husband and they're miserable in their marriage, and those are the people that you run around with the most, you know what? You're going to begin to look at your marriage from a more negative perspective. But if you hang around with people that love their spouse and have a happy family life and love being there, that's going to get on you as well. So who we hang around with says a lot about our wisdom. Now listen, if you're single today and maybe you're thinking about marrying somebody, look at their friends. Man, if they have wise friends, they have godly friends, then that says a lot about who they are. But if all their friends are foolish and silly and, you know, do stupid things all the time, that tells you a lot about that person. So surround ourselves with people of wisdom. That is going to propel us more into living the life of wisdom that we want to have. And this is straight from Scripture right here. Okay? He who walks with the wise grows wise. We got to become teachable. Are we willing to learn? Are we asking the questions, or are we talking the whole time? You know? When you're with somebody that knows more about a subject than you do, do you talk the whole time, or do you listen and ask questions? You know? And I'm amazed. I'm friends with some pastors that have churches way bigger than we do and have accomplished tremendous, tremendous things in ministry. And yet, when I'm with them, a lot of times they ask me questions like I know more about it than they do. And I'm like, I'm kind of thinking, you had 5,000 people at your church last Sunday. Why are you asking me that? You know what, though? The guys are teachable. The guys are open. They're always learning. And so for them, it's not about just about how big the stage is for them. They learn from everybody, you know, and it's powerful. So, man, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. And listen, that's why the church is so important. Some of you are thinking today, man, I'd like to hang around some wise people, but where do I find people like that? The church is a great place to start. We got some wise people here, man. Our church wouldn't be in the position that it's in today if we didn't have some wise people. Come to the church, the family of God. It's a great place to begin here in the local church. Okay? Now, the question is, Ron, I want to have wisdom, man, and I understand the fear of God thing, but what else do I need to do? Let me give you one more little thought here. If you want to be wise, you want to know how to handle your finances, you want to know how to be a better husband, you want to know how to parent your kids better, you want to make wise choices, ask of the Lord. Just ask God. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. "And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and you look for it as silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." The Bible says just start to ask for it. Yeah? If you want to be wise, just say, "God, give me wisdom. God, I got some decisions. Not really sure what to do. Not really sure where to go, Lord. Can you give me wisdom?" The book of James says that God wants to give to all liberally and without reproach. In other words, God's wanting to give us wisdom. He's wanting to speak to us. He's wanting to lead us and direct us. But we just got to ask, you know? So maybe today you need to just begin by the fear of God and just by asking the Lord and just saying, "God, today I need some direction. I need some help, Lord." Isn't that good? So just ask for it. I had an interesting situation a couple of years ago. I was talking with a pastor friend of mine that had gotten into an affair. He'd gotten involved with his secretary, and they had a relationship, man. And what had happened is the thing ended after about 8 weeks, but the pastor never told anybody. He just kind of kept it to himself, you know? Never admitted it, never got counsel, never had pastors pray for him, never shared it with his church. He just buried it, you know? Almost like it never happened. Never spoke of it. Well, a couple years later, this came out. And when some other pastors went and talked to this Christian leader, and some people in his church did as well, He blamed the woman. He blamed his wife. At first he tried to lie about it, deny it. Then when he couldn't do that, he tried to blame everybody else. Divorced his wife, lied about it, married another lady on the rebound. Totally responded in the worst way possible that you could in a situation like that. There were so many people wanting to give wisdom, wanting to support and help. Nobody was trying to throw stones. We were all trying to help. But he chose one set of circumstances. Most recently, I've been getting to know a pastor here in our state, the state of Colorado, that got involved in an emotional affair. It wasn't a sexual affair, but it was still an emotional affair, which is wrong, and it was not good. And he got really convicted from the Lord. And you know what? He went to his church. He admitted that. He repented. He turned away from his sin. He got counseling. He got help. He was restored in the ministry. Today, he has the pastor of one of the largest churches in our state. He writes books. He gives marriage conferences with his wife. He has an amazing family. He has an amazing life. You know what? I look at these two situations, and I see two similar scenarios that played out. One person chose the path of wisdom, and the other chose the path of foolishness. Now, the question for us this morning is, what path are we going to choose? Let's just pray together. God, we want to bow before you today and just come and humble ourselves before you, Lord, because we look at our own lives, God, and we see our desperate need. God, we need wisdom today. We need insight. We need direction, Lord. We need you. God, I pray that and just in the stillness of this room, God, you would just begin to flood our heart with what it means to walk with you and to live in wisdom and God, just to follow you with all that we have. And maybe today you'd like to just commit your life to Jesus Christ while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are still closed for just a minute. Maybe you've never crossed the line of faith. You know, the Bible says that by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we can become his child. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was the very wisdom of God. And the scripture tells us that he died on a cross. He rose from the grave on the third day so that your sins could be forgiven. And now by faith and by trusting in him, today you can have salvation and redemption. The Bible says God can wash away all of your sins, past, present, and future, if you'll come to him today.